Hello and welcome to FutureCast, the podcast where we explore the groundbreaking trends shaping our tomorrow. I'm your host, Arash Farahani, a tech entrepreneur with a passion for understanding how technology intersects with human nature. From teaching programming in my early 20s to co-founding a couple of successful ventures, my journey has been fueled by curiosity, resilience, and a quest for innovation. I've been honored to receive international awards, win hackathons, and have the privilege of working alongside industry legends from top-tier institutions. And I bring that wealth of experience and insight to our discussions. Today, we'll explore a couple of recent use cases from ChatGPT and my daily routine with this fascinating tool. I'll bring and share my experience with you guys, and we'll also explore weekly updates from tech and science where it relates with the future that we will be living in. So sit back, relax, and let's journey into the future together. So before I go to the details of the podcast, I would like to thank you, all the people and friends who listened to the first episode and provided me with their valuable feedbacks. I'm truly grateful for having audience like you, and please keep giving me your thoughts and feedbacks, and I will do my best to improve this podcast episode by episode. Today, we're going to talk about my daily routine with ChatGPT and a couple of my recent use cases that I've been really fascinated by. And further, I will provide you with weekly tech and science highlights that will potentially impact our future. Back to my routine with ChatGPT. So one of the things that I would like to talk here about is I've been using it as a personal coach. So recently, OpenAI ChatGPT, they released a new feature where you can provide context to the system and it will tailor the answers based on the context that you previously have provided. It means you can describe yourself to ChatGPT, tell the system who you are, what are your characteristics, what are your favorite activities, what you're doing, and what are your goals and ambitions in 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever. And then the responses that the system gives you are way more personalized than before. And you can have more meaningful conversations with the system. You can do the same for your business. You can describe your startup, what industry you're active in, what stage you're in, what are your current problems, what are your top three goals that you're looking for in the next one or two quarters. And then once you're doing your market research, once you're preparing content for your social media, etc., it will give you the relevant responses, and you don't need to further ask to customize it for you. That feature has been working really, really good for me. But the bottom line is, I really hope that this data is being kept private, because I provided all my history, all my background, the things that I even do not usually share with other people, so that the system can act like a professional coach, as a life coach to me. And this has been really good. So this is one. The other one is for coding and creating simple programs, the things that you can do it yourself. First, you need to have the programming and development knowledge, because it will create the program for you, but you really need to know first what to ask and then tailor your needs and further give the system more instruction in order to better come up with your desired output. So my recent application with ChatGPT was that I had a couple of files, CSV files. They were market analysis. So I asked the system to create a program that inputs those CSV files. I described the columns, and then I asked the system to do some analysis, compare some columns from sheet one, and then compare them to some other columns from sheet two, and did some data analytics, right? And asked to help me with visualization, with more further analysis, even doing some AI stuff. For sure, it cannot for now help you much about AI. It can do simple tasks for you, but if you really want to do some complicated stuff, you really need to do it yourself. But it can significantly reduce your development time. If you need 30 minutes for developing a simple program, you can definitely do it in 1 or 2 minutes with ChatGPT. And you can, so with that 28 minutes more time that you have, you can do lots of other stuff, right? So for programming, it is really good. You can even give the system that, hey, I'm now getting this error, and then it will keep tailoring the code for you. So these are the simple programs that right now you can do with ChatGPT. Creating applications are way, way easier than before, and I do enjoy coding with it. So that was the second use case that I did really enjoy. The third one, I asked it to sell me something. I wanted to know how good it can recognize me, Arash, as a person, my characteristics, my desires, and then sell me something like that scene in Wolf of Wall Street, which you may have seen it. And it did a great job in that, honestly. So it could recognize that I'm a futuristic guy, I'm interested in tech, I'm interested in psychology, in philosophy, and it created a package including the next steps in humankind that uncovers the secrets, the hidden spots in understanding the future, in the gems that you may find in the next 20 years of human evolution. And I was really fascinated by how good the system could understand Arash as a buyer. So with that use case, if you're having a business that you need to convince your clients to buy something from you, then that is probably the best use case that you can expect from ChatGPT. The thing is, you need to provide the system with enough data about your clients. You need to profile your clients and customers to the system so that it can customize your language. It can personalize your offers like a sales agent, better to say, if you're running a business. So these were a couple of things that I've been playing around and fascinated by over the past 1 or 2 weeks. I also had some in-depth conversations, some philosophical ones about the concepts of energy, and it could keep up with me. So I would like to mention something here. If you want to use it for market analysis, you need to double check the data. You need to double check the numbers that the system is giving you. So I was doing a market research. It came up with 100 billion number, right? So there was a market cap of 100 billion for something. But I wanted to know what that 100 billion number is. I mean, how big this number is, because in the field of data, you need to compare that, I mean, your first input, you need to compare it relatively to another field or topic so that you can truly understand how big or small the number that you're facing is. So, and it could perfectly provide me with another use case with a relatively good benchmark so that I can understand the difference and the size of that 100 billion. But when I Googled the number, I came up with another thing. So if unless you're doing ChatGPT for running, I don't know, your essays or exams or just making your boss happy, which it can perfectly do that for you. But if you really want to do the proper market research, then you probably need to go into the details and numbers and double check them with other sources. The other thing is confirmation bias. So confirmation bias, you might be familiar with the term. You would like to be right in the conversations that you're having with any other people, right? And the desire of being right is called confirmation bias. You prepare the data, you make some conclusions, you come up with the results that confirms your desire, that confirms your theory, right? But that is not necessarily the truth, right? That is not necessarily the right outcome. And ChatGPT also comes, I mean, it also has a confirmation bias. It's not confirmation bias, but you need to be aware that the results that you're getting are the responses of your requests, right? So it does not necessarily look into every quarter in order to find the most accurate response. And there is a famous quote from Warren Buffett that I would like to tell you guys about. He's saying that what the human being is best at doing is interpreting all new information so that their prior conclusions remain intact. That is really true. I truly believe it. For sure, I'm going to talk about confirmation bias and other biases that we may encounter in our daily life and how to get better at thinking crystal clear despite your own opinions and desires for being right. So a couple of you guys asked me about the future of AI. So I think if you look at past, all these big breakthroughs in AI, they happen after breakthroughs in hardware technology. Right now, most of these AI systems, they are running on super expensive GPUs. OpenAI is now paying tens of millions on a monthly basis for maintaining and training their AI systems. And I think we need one or two more breakthroughs in hardware system, in hardware industry, in order to reduce the cost of these AI systems by a good number. Because right now, if you compare the cost of GPT-4 to GPT-3 or 3.5, the prices are significantly different. And if you're having a product with millions of users, you're probably going to need caching systems for storing your existing data and reusing them for other clients. Otherwise, the cost that you're going to pay to OpenAI or any other LLM provider is going to be significant. So in the next 10 to 15 years, there are three main areas that we're probably going to see major advancements in hardware. Number one is neuromorphic computing. So neuromorphic chips are designed to mimic the structure and function of human brain. And they are much more efficient in certain types of AI tasks, such as image recognition and natural language processing, NLP. The other one is quantum computing, which you might have heard of the term. It's about the quantum physics, different states of molecules and atoms. And right now, big guys, IBM, Google, they have supercomputers having 50 qubits, 100 qubits. I don't know the latest number, but the qubits is now a benchmark of the quantum power, right? It's about the megahertz or gigahertz for CPUs. It's a number of qubits for quantum computers. And the third one is optical computing, which uses light to perform computations, and it is going to significantly reduce the energy that the systems are using. So once any of these advancements happen in the next, let's say, 10 to 15 years, then we're probably going to see another jump, another breakthrough in AI. And the wave of AI is just the beginning, right? Once we combine the AI that we currently have with visuals, with the hearings, with the robotics, then I think that the movie that I can picture in my head is I, Robot, I guess, from Will Smith. So, you know, just put the ChatGPT on Boston Dynamics robots in a 10 to 15 years, then we're probably even gonna, end up to Terminator Salvation. But the future is bright, and I think these systems for sure gonna make our lives way easier than before. I think we're good for the second episode. I hope that you enjoyed it, and keep me with your valuable feedbacks. Thank you, and talk to you later. Cheers.